بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم، وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Before we look at tonight's hadith, which is hadith number 24, and it's one of the most comprehensive of hadiths in this collection of comprehensive hadiths of the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll just give an opportunity to look back at the two hadiths that we covered in the previous lesson. Last lesson we looked at hadith number 22 and hadith number 23. Hadith number 22 is the hadith of Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding just doing the bare minimum, and would he enter paradise? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And he said, do you see, if I perform the five prayers, and I fast Ramadan, and I deem the halal halal, and I deem the haram haram, and I don't do anything more than that, will I enter paradise? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. What are some of the main lessons from that hadith? One is the importance of having clarity about the limits. And what's the benefit of having clarity regarding the limits?
To set a benchmark.
Okay, but what does that do?
So that you won't fall below that and fall into the
house. Yeah, so you know what is the very least that you need to do. What is the very least that you need to do? What are other benefits of having clarity regarding what is the minimum here? Was he just trying to be a slacker, the person who came and asked? To show the importance of the obligatory act. Right? Like in the hadith Qudsi, my servant draws close to me by nothing more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory upon them. So if one were to do nothing else, one would enter paradise. Which says that these acts themselves are of such great importance. It gives one a sense of priority as well. What are other aspects of it's also an aspect of mercy, right? That a lot of people can do just the basics, right? And this is one of the problems of some modern Islamic discourse. It becomes an all or nothing thing, that if you're not going to do everything, then why bother? And that's not correct, right? That's not correct, because even the one who falls short of this but has a concern for the good, has a concern for the good, built on faith, that itself is not a good that should be disregarded or considered little. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said regarding the man who, for example, fell into zina, right? That not to speak ill of him, because this is a person who loves Allah and His Messenger, right? And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about minhum zalimun li nafsih. There are those who wrong themselves, right? And those who wrong themselves are still of the people of Khayr, in that they're at least striving to do the good, even if they fall short in that striving. Right? So the asl of the good is there. And the Prophet ﷺ highlighted that further in the famous hadith of the bitaqa, of the small card, that this person will come having performed relatively few good deeds. And when their bad deeds are placed on the scales, even the good deeds just fell away. But then Allah commands the angels to bring out the bitaqa, the small card. And what's written on the small card? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Yeah. But that card has weight to the extent of one's attachment to that reality. So one may be falling short, but the person of faith has a rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should not be disregarded. And this is from the mercy of this deen. And there's many other lessons here as well. And it of course tells us also of the importance of the halal and the haram, right? Which is one of the aspects that is often disregarded. Hadith number 23 is from the aphorisms of the Prophet ﷺ, as it were. He mentioned eight principles, right? Eight principles. And each of these, it's worth reflecting on. The first of those was At-tahur shatrul iman, or At-tuhur shatrul iman. Purity is half of faith. How is purity half of faith?
Half of faith.
That it's part of it. So let's go back. Is purity part of faith? Like, does faith have parts? Does faith, has iman got parts? It's a trick question. Yes and no, right? How doesn't faith have parts? What is faith? Yeah, tasdeeq. Faith is confirming as true what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. It's a singular concept. You have it or you don't. So in that sense, faith doesn't have a part. Faith itself, right? It's a meaning, a singular meaning. It's there in the heart or it's not. But then, faith with respect to what it relates to and how and what it is manifest in, within one's heart of qualities and outwardly of conduct, has parts. And it is in that sense that faith in its manifestations has one half of it, and half, it's not necessarily exactly 50%. Half meaning one part of faith. How is purity half of faith? At-tuhur shatrul iman. How is purity half of faith? So, to know how is purity half of faith, one needs to first define what is purity. Always important to think that the statement, what is being referred to as purity? That one always asks, not to just to stick to apparent meanings, but to understand actual meanings. And so one asks, what does purity refer to here? Right? You put a question mark. Okay? One should reflect on it, and one should look for the right understanding. So purity here could be referring to the acts of purity, but then the question arises, what is faith? What is faith being referred to? Because immediately the mind jumps to the immediate meaning. Faith is iman, it's iman is iman, but not necessarily. Sometimes a matter is referred to, the term is used to refer to that which expresses it, or that which is part of it. So that which is part of it, the Prophet ﷺ told the man who asked him that إِنْ يَسَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, I ask you for your close company in paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, assist me against yourself with much prostration. But what's being meant here, what's meant by prostration here? Just go and prostrate a lot? It's here, a word is used to refer, it's ذِكْرُ الْجُزْءِ وَإِرَادَةُ الْكُلِ, is mentioning a part and a whole is mentioned, is intended. Right? Assist me against yourself with much prostration, meaning much prayer. But why is the word prostration used here? Because prayer expresses submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devotedness, etc. So it's used to for rhetorical purposes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, bow with those who bow. Right? But it's not about joining the MBA, the Muslim Bowing Association. So say we have a special act of ibadah called the bow. Right? So we just go and say, who needs to pray? Allah says bow. So you just go ruku. Right? Again, that is ذِكْرُ الْجُزْءِ وَإِرَادَةُ الْكُلِّ, mentioning a part and intending the whole. But sometimes the other way around is mentioned as well. A thing is mentioned, and what is meant is its expression. ذِكْرُ الشَّيْءِ وَإِرَادَةُ لَازِمِهِ, mentioning a thing and intending its what is entailed by it. So for example, here, one of the interpretations of iman, that purity is half of faith, one interpretation, and we mentioned it in the class, that what's meant by faith here? Prayer. Right? Because if your faith is true, you would express it through prayer. Right? And this is also, there's many, many examples in the Quran and in the Sunnah of mentioning something and what, and in meaning its expression. One example, one of the interpretations of sabr in the Quran in a number of places is fasting. Ista'inu bisabri was salah. Seek assistance in patience and prayer. And some of the Sahaba interpreted patience there as being fasting. Because one of the expressions of patience is fasting. Because fasting needs it. And other such and there's a number of other such examples. This one. Omar, is the Ethernet cable there? So, purity is half of faith. So purity here, it could be intended literally, just the act of ritual purity, okay, is half of prayer, either because it's a condition, right? And without the condition, that which is conditioned does not exist, or in a broader sense, purity, in the sense of that all actions are require tahliya and tahliya, ridding oneself of the unbecoming and acquiring that which is called for, both inwardly and outwardly. Right? So spiritually, iman entails ridding oneself of the traits that are odious to Allah and acquiring the traits that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. And we looked at the meanings of that. And the hadith has, you know, each of the statements in it is really very, very powerful. And we looked also at the meanings of Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah, and that these are expressions that one should make a constant part of one's consciousness. And I don't know if we shared it on, I'd request on the, there's a wonderful work that everyone should have on their reading list, is the work Miftah al-Jannah by Habib Ahmad Mashur al-Haddad. It's a wonderful work, it's reflections. What is Miftah al-Jannah? The key to paradise. What is it? The Prophet ﷺ said, La ilaha illallah, Miftah al-Jannah. That La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. So, these are reflections on the outward and spiritual meanings of La ilaha illallah. And there are a whole number of amazing things in it. He explains in it, amongst other things, the meanings of central dhikrs, like, you know, the tasbihs, the baqiyat as-salihat, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and those are, you know, and really powerful and profound, and one should strive to read the whole book. It's an amazing book, but that section particularly, from that, and it may actually be taken from the writings of Imam Abdullah al-Haddad, and you can find it on Seeker's Guidance. If it could be shared in the class forum, that would be appreciated. It's very, very useful. And then, you know, وَالصَّبْرُ, and we're not going to look at all of it. What is the definition of patience? الصبر ضياء. Yeah. Patience, صبر, has the meaning of holding oneself down. Okay? Holding oneself down. And الثبات. Right, but it's الثَّبَاتُ عَلَى مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, remaining firm on what is pleasing to Allah. Right? So in that sense, it is a positive quality, not a passive quality. But patience has an outward expression and an inward reality. And it begins with what the ulama defined it, الصَّبْرُ تَرْكُ الشَّكْوَى. Patience is leaving objection. Because you could be outwardly patient, but inwardly objecting, and that's not patience. And then talks about the Quran being a proof for one or against one. And those are, and the Quran is one of the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala tells us that لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, none but the purified can touch it. And none but the purified may touch it. And there's a spiritual reality to that, in that if one is engaged in matters that are odious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may prevent one from the Qur'an, either from being able to recite it, or for deepening one's recitation of it, not having the reflection upon it, not living its qualities. So one should always look at how the Qur'an is reflecting in one's life. And that's one of the tests in life. So before we begin looking at hadith number 24, any questions, inshallah? There's a question that, considering the injunction that leaving the sunnah voluntarily is sinful, how does this hadith relate to the practice of the sunnah? The sunnah sometimes the confusion arises because of the lack of clarity about what you're talking about. The Sunnah in general refers to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a believer cannot refuse the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? In general, what is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Deen. ما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's in the general religious sense. Then there is the sense, the transmissional sense of Sunnah, as in the science of Hadith, right? Which is مَثَبَتَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That which is established from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Those teachings that are established, right? Either by specific Hadith or what is understood from those Hadiths. That's Sunnah in the transmissional sense. You have the general religious sense, you have the transmissional sense of Sunnah. You also have the sense of Sunnah in the usage of the scholars of Usul, right? Which is the second source of legislation, which is the prophetic example as source of law. And then you have the legal aspect of the Sunnah, which is مَا نُدِبَ فِعْلُهُ, that which we are encouraged to do. And or مَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ, that which one is rewarded for doing. دُونَ عِقَابٍ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ, without sinning for leaving it. And there are different definitions. We're sticking to general definitions, but the different schools of Islamic law define these in slightly distinct ways. The Sunnah then, in the legal sense, has the generally recommended Sunnahs and the emphasized Sunnahs. And some of the in some of the schools of Islamic law, particularly the Hanafi, the emphasized Sunnah, the Sunnah Mu'akkada, that if left habitually, without excuse, could be sinful. Right? This emphasized Sunnah, not any Sunnah, the emphasized Sunnah, the Sunnah Mu'akkada. If left habitually, without excuse, could be sinful. Right? But that's not every emphasized Sunnah as well. And of course, we're called upon to do the Sunnah. Spiritually, the Sunnah is the way to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then follow me. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. My servant continues to draw close to me by superlative words until I love them. So we'll begin the 24th hadith, bismillah ta'ala.